You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of October 27th, 2016, and today we take it to the net. Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Alborn.
My name is Scott Chester.
We're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a site dedicated to the serious but not humorous conversation about video games and sports, e-sports-ish. Today we are talking about an article from the New York Times sent to us by a friend of the show, Nate.
Thanks, Nate.
Thank you. The topic, or rather the title of the article is How Video Games Are Changing the Way Soccer Is Played. This is by Rory Smith. It's a New York Times article. This is some serious business.
Oh, yeah.
This is basically like our NPR podcast. This is like we're talking about an Atlantic article about Trump or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's next week.
Yeah.
The theme of this article is basically the ways in which FIFA, but also Pro Evolution Soccer and some of the other soccer franchises, I believe what's Football Manager?
Football Manager.
Influence the actual playing of real life soccer,
footy.
It is an understatement to say that FIFA and soccer games in general do well. It's funny because in the U.S. soccer isn't all that popular, but everybody pretty much knows
it. FIFA's popular though.
In the U.S. it is. Yeah.
I bet FIFA is more popular. Like
Madden?
I bet. Oh, I bet you. Well, I wonder what the sales. But I bet you FIFA is more popular than soccer generally. You know what I'm saying? Like, I bet more people play FIFA than watch soccer.
Oh, yeah. I think that's probably true.
Yeah. That's sure. A weird thing.
So, I feel like everybody does, though, understand that it is such a global sport. People care so much, like, get in riots and stab people, mm-hmm. level of caring, that it's not surprising that the game does incredibly well.
Mm-hmm.
I think what might be surprising, though, is how many people who actually play professional soccer also play like their digital version of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's a conversation that takes place. And this article actually does some like quick interviews with some professional soccer players and their responses to soccer, to the release of FIFA 17, I guess, came out like last month,
mm-hmm.
And how they perform. There's a great story of a particular striker complaining on Twitter that his passing score in the game wasn't as good as it was, as he thought it deserved based upon his real life passing skills. Yeah.
What do you think about that in particular? I mean, it's starting to, obviously people are taking note of it. Players are taking note of it.
So this came up kind of in our conversation around Steph Curry earlier this year, right?
Yeah.
Because there was an issue where, I think it was NBA 2K, had a problem with how good Steph Curry was on those three-point shots.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they were to actually make his in-game character that good, it would unbalance the game.
Yeah.
Because he himself was that good. So it's funny that there's this desire to have the game be balanced, right, for people playing and be true to life when teams aren't balanced true to life.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to sort of make a call about what you think those stats are going to be, right? Like you have to take something that is, people try to quantify it in sports, right? And I think that's actually what I find so interesting about this article is that more and more people have tried to quantify sports in a way to get a really clear understanding of your team's skills, where the strengths and weaknesses are, how skilled individual players are, which goes right in line with the need to quantify player skill in something like FIFA, right?
Yeah.
In those games as well. So it's a natural fit once you start quantifying people's scores to say, oh, well, it's actually relatively easy to bring over this guy's passing game into the actual sport, and then conversely, to complain about it.
Mm-hmm.
To be like, hey, look, you know what? I actually have made, you know, I know exactly how many passes I've attempted this year. I know exactly how many passes have connected. And I'm looking at my score and this doesn't add up. Like, I can do the math. I'm a better passer than you're giving me credit for.
That's the thing that I think is like most confusing about it, because the ratings that they have, there's a black box on either side.
Right.
There's a black box on the soccer side where unless you are an analyst for one of the teams,
mm-hmm.
you probably don't know, like, all of the analytics they're keeping about you.
Yeah.
You just know, generally speaking, I've scored this many goals, like, I have made this many turnovers or mm-hmm. whatever. But, like, there's probably so much more on the other end that you actually don't know. Like, if when you are on this side of the field, you have this percentage. Well, yeah. you know, it's yeah. like, but somebody somewhere on some Excel spreadsheet has that.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
And then on the other side, on the video game side, they just kind of give you these rankings where it's like, you're a 79 or like you're 59 for passing. And it's like, right. 59 what? Like, you know, like how does, yeah. where does that 59 come
out
from?
Out of 100 being like, you never miss a pass.
Yeah, exactly. Or you just, is it like a theoretical, you're 100% passer. Your right. passes never go errant.
Well, and my question too, and I don't play FIFA, but can you have a zero, like, physical, you know? Like,
so you just that, fall
you're
over?
You're just like a baby? Like, that's what I'm saying. At that point, then, why not lower the metric and start at, like, 50 yeah. and just say out of 50, you know? Or, like, 4 stars or whatever.
Once, until you get to, like, 25 or so, you're just the quap guy.
Or, like, yeah, yeah, exactly. Just like, what? Or, like, so we're looking at the stats of Batshuayi now, yeah. right? And he's got, like, dribbling, defense,
yeah,
physical, I guess, passing, yeah. shooting. What is PAC, P-A-C?
I don't know.
Pacifier, how cool you are, like, calming the situation down. Uh-huh. But what you don't have here is, like, mental fortitude. Uh-huh. Like, do you perform differently on an international stage?
Mm-hmm.
Or
are you good in the last 5 minutes of the game?
Sure.
Yeah.
Or conversely, do you work really well with particular teammates? Mm-hmm. Like, there's someone on your defense you drive with, but yeah. when that person is injured, your own ratings go down because they're not as good as catching your passes or yeah. something, right? Like, there's all these other deeper statistics that you might not see in, like, a FIFA game, but mm. are nevertheless, like, probably something people are keeping track of.
Yeah, somewhere.
Somewhere.
But then the funny thing is that because everything is all public now in terms of communication, he plays the game.
Yes.
He sees his ratings, and then he starts joking with people on Twitter, including the official EA FIFA account, about how,
like, what's the deal, man?
Yeah, why yeah. is why are his ratings so low? And then the company responds to him mm-hmm. yeah. saying practice makes perfect. And then he gets the final burn by saying he's going to go play Pro Evolution
yeah,
Soccer.
Yeah, download PES. That's so fucking funny.
Which is lighthearted and funny. But then again, it becomes political where it's like, well, is it smarter to make Steph Curry really good and then he'll be more likely to be our spokesperson?
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Should we, like, favor some people versus yeah. another person? Or, like, who's doing our mocap?
Yeah.
You know, like, what team is he on, you know?
We talked a little about how FIFA was also patching in, like, news changes mm-hmm. and stuff. So what I find interesting is because the game has never been more live and real to life than it is today.
Yeah.
You could literally say, hey, you need to practice more. You need to up your passing game.
And then
have him up his passing game.
In patch point and, 125.
Yeah, and, like, then update it and say, you know what? Batshuayi has yeah. actually increased his passing game. So we're upping it from, you know, what was it? 53 yeah. to yeah. 68 or something like that, right? Like, you could actually patch things together. Or if there are injuries or whatever, right? Like, there's a certain... The relationship now between FIFA, the EA sports title,
mm-hmm.
and FIFA, the organization, is so, like, next to each other
yeah.
that, of course, you're going to have this, like, crazy feedback loop mm-hmm. of reality informing the game and game informing reality.
Yep. I, going back to the Times article, they follow one player, Alex Iwobi, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And at the very beginning, they actually talk about how he would be in a match and be going up against someone he's never played before, except in FIFA.
Right.
And so then he'd think to himself, okay, I've played this guy in FIFA. Like,
it's crazy.
Like, yeah. Or his stats.
Yeah. Do you think pro wrestlers do this? Because there's, like, pro wrestling.
So there have been a lot of... I've actually saw a practical joke one time where... actually, I think it was UFC, mm-hmm. but similar thing. One of the UFC fighters got up in the face of one of the EA producers. Like, he was mad that his rating was so low
just to
scare him. But then he was like, ah, no, don't worry. I don't care. So they definitely do that where yeah. they're like, oh, you know, this guy, his ground game is way better than his strikes or sure. whatever. Like,
I mean, that's a good point, right? Is if the AI really is that good, mm-hmm. right? And even there are certainly stats in the code that go deeper than the 6 stats that they list on the character's profile.
Yeah.
Then you could try moves and see if that team's defense as a whole can respond to it,
mm.
you know, and start thinking, okay, well, maybe I can practice in this particular way, right? Because yeah. it's not, if things are actually as in-depth as they should be or can be in terms of the digital space, like, mm-hmm. it makes a lot of sense to practice in that space because you don't normally have the opportunity to scrim with them,
yeah.
right? You can't yeah. just go meet Messi on a pitch. If you're, you know, if yeah. you're, especially on an international stage, yeah. right? If you're ever hoping to play against like a national team, you're going to be playing them maybe 3-4 times a year, yeah. depending on where you're from and who you're playing against.
And not only that, you play them one time that day. That's it. You yeah. can't go back, oh, I'm going to restart the game and try this again. Or yeah. I'm going to restart the game and try this other technique.
Or like, try a different layout, right? Like maybe yeah. you're trying a different amount of strikers or yeah. different amount of defensemen, right? Like yeah. you can change the format or you can change whether or not you're pushing the passing game and stuff. What I find strange, though, it puts a weird amount of trust on the developers.
I know. That's
from the perspective of
the players.
It's
like a weird imbalance. Like the article makes light of it a little bit, but like at this point, you're obviously listening to your coach advice, but you're also trying to get advice from this wholly other organization that theoretically has no stake in the match.
Right, but what they're saying is our simulation is true enough to yeah. life that you can learn legitimate strategy or like play styles from it.
Yeah.
What I think, though, is interesting is it's not because, at least from my perspective, it doesn't seem like it's because EA has gone to these players and said, hey, use us as a training mm-hmm. tool. Like,
yeah.
FIFA has not been created in the perspective that it's a training tool.
Yeah.
It has been created from the perspective that it is a simulation mm-hmm. for fans of soccer who want to live that dream of playing at that skill level
yeah.
and managing a team like that. Mm-hmm. But I think where the trust comes from for the players is the fact that they themselves have played hours upon hours upon hours mm-hmm. of these games and are actually seeing, hey, some of these things are actually legitimately true. I can do these things, or I am better at performing these particular maneuvers, mm-hmm. or I can try these strategies that I wouldn't normally see, right? I think the article mentions some soccer players saying, oh, maybe I can pull off this maneuver in real life that I pulled off in the digital space mm-hmm. because if it's possible in the game and that's a relatively good simulation, then it's possible in real life. Yeah. Maybe I should try this crazy bicycle kick or something.
But that's just like life imitating art at that point where it's like, oh, it really is the holiday special of all you had to do, Iwobi, is believe in yourself. Yeah. like he sees an image of him doing like a sick bicycle yeah. kick and he's like,
fuck, maybe I can't do that.
I can do that.
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, it's like, hey, look, they've measured my physique. They know yeah. I can, like, I got mad hops. Like, I can do this. Like, let's go, right? That makes sense to me. What I really want to see is the players doing the glitches where they, like, fall on each other
and sort of,
like,
pose,
hug like, and, like... It's when they're accidentally groping each other in the game that I find it especially
hilarious.
They
somehow get tangled.
I mean, that's the thing, too. That actually happens in real-life soccer where something just funny happens, right? Someone slides and, like, gets a face full of crotch.
Yeah.
It happens in soccer, right? You never know. What I find kind of interesting is the article mentions that a lot of the players today, especially, like, the younger talent, have been playing real-life soccer in a time where, you know, when you're done playing on the field, you go home and then you play FIFA on your consoles. Like, yeah. there are a lot of gamers who played a ton of FIFA and are now actual FIFA stars. I mean, we know, right? Like, the professional football players are very, very young. Like, mm-hmm. They are, you know, 18, 19, yeah. 20 years old. Or yeah. if they're in the minor league, you know, they could be at, like, 16 years old.
I mean, like, maybe you spend, let's just say you've spent all of your time in college rather than going up to the pro league, like you're like 21 or 22 by the time you're professional right. football.
Yeah. You know? Like, yeah, exactly.
Kind of nuts.
So these people have been playing so much of the game that it makes sense that it would feed into the desire to play in real life mm-hmm. to some extent, right?
Yeah.
And the feeling of like, oh, this is something that I could do sort of for a living. So what I find curious is, do you think that that's partially why some of these football clubs are getting into esports?
Mm-hmm.
Like F4 Schalke, the Bundesliga team from Germany, bought a League of Legends team last year.
Yeah.
There's rumors that Real Madrid is picking up a League of Legends esports team, that Valencia already picked up a team. There's rumor that Manchester United might pick up an esports team.
I mean, there's already huge investment. Like Shaq owns
it. Yeah, like, Shaq and yeah. A-Rod like, yeah. co-own an esports team.
Yeah.
In my mind, it kind of makes this weird logical sense, right? Where you go... People are really interested in this actual real-life competition, but one of the ways that they get into sports these days is by playing the digital version.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a video game that is hugely popular, and there are several video games that are hugely popular, right? Like, I think Valencia picked up a Hearthstone
mm-hmm.
sport, which isn't even, like, any sort of... The comparison between that and actual sports is
yeah.
so tangential.
Yeah.
But I think the logic goes, Well, the player base is there. They're growing up. When they become adults, they're going to want the type of content that we actually have immense skill in producing, which is live tournaments of immense scale, and we can bring in sponsorship.
The mechanics are all there. So
yeah, they're ready for it, right? Like, Real Madrid is so fucking rich. You know, like, they've been dominating soccer for so long because they have so much money to spend, because they create and produce their own brand. Like, the Real Madrid brand and licensing deals that they make are partially why they're so good, right? So, again, it's this, like, crazy feedback loop where they're popular because they do really well, because they pay the best players, because they have the most money, because they sell the brand, and it becomes this feedback loop. To just take another thing like esports, like League of Legends or something, and just slot that right into what is already a healthy loop seems like it would make a lot of natural sense.
It would also be really smart of them, because at a certain point, the superstar players are going to, like, stop playing soccer because they're too old. It would be so smart to then be able to do, like, you know, here's a FIFA esports match with a 55-year-old Messi or something like that.
That would, like, be, you mean 55-year-old Messi playing the game?
Yeah, playing FIFA. Yeah.
Well, they already had Messi come out on stage at E3 for the FIFA event.
And they had, I mean, so they have these athletes, but they haven't yet gotten, the generation of athletes who grew up on video games have not yet retired.
Yes.
And so they're seeding this population for people that will, because usually the trajectory of a pre-video game sportsman is you play for a few years, you retire, you either open a chain of shitty restaurants.
You work at a carpet store. Yeah.
Or you get into broadcast somehow. You're an analyst or a commentator, or you do announcement or something.
Right.
This is a whole new, like, stream for them, which is like, sure, we're going to have you in the public sphere, but we also have a whole new wing of public sphere content for you, which is e-sports.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be, I mean, we're not going to say, like, you know, Ronaldinho is now playing League or something like that.
But like, he should. Maybe he does. You don't know. I've played a couple against people that are like, Ronaldinho fucking hacker.
It's just 6'5".
Yeah.
But, like, once he retires and is out, that doesn't mean he's out of soccer. He is now there to, you know, play promotional matches and talk about the next FIFA. Like, he still has this authority. And by getting into esports and by pushing the specialization of these sports games, you're just extending the life of your superstars, basically.
Totally.
I just think it's a long-term plan, because all these guys who are in their 20s now are you're going to have to wait for like another 10 or 15 years to realize this. But, like, it's a no-brainer once it actually happens.
The problem, though, is you have these people who are, I mean, for the most part, especially like the hotshot superstars, are trained to be on camera. Like, they're required in their contract to show up on TV and be interviewed or whatever, right? You know, Messi can hold his own in an interview. But the people who are like the top 10 FIFA players in the world, they're not like sexy, hard-bodied young soccer players, right? Like, who are really good on camera. Huh. They're potentially like nerdy people who put in 16 hours of practice, right? The question is, does that jive with the brand? Like, if you're Real Madrid or if you're whatever, and you've got an esports team playing FIFA on a global stage, and they're like, they meet their idols like, you know, Ronaldinho or whatever, or Messi, How do you sell t-shirts, you know? Like, what does a Real Madrid esports fan look like versus just a Real Madrid fan? And can you have the two? Like, I know I would be really excited. I really enjoy watching soccer, what little soccer I do watch. I could see myself being a fan of a team that is both an esports team and a soccer team, right?
Yeah.
Like, if Real Madrid had a League of Legends team and a soccer team and a FIFA esports team, and I watched all of their shit, like, that would be cool. But is that realistic? Like, how many people are there really who would be interested in both? Or do they divide their fan base and say, these are the people who are really into FIFA as a digital sport, and here are people who are into FIFA as the actual physical sport?
Yeah. I mean, it's still uncharted territory, because they haven't aged into it yet.
Yeah.
But I mean, one of the reasons why this is so strange is because esports is still in this, like, mode where a company has multiple sports, which is not the case in physical sports.
Yeah.
Like, the Giants is not a brand anymore. You have the San Francisco Giants, who are a baseball team, not affiliated at all with the New York Giants, that's a football team. Like,
yeah, that's a good point.
Whereas if you are one of these esports teams, you, like, field a Counter-Strike team and a League team. And, yeah. Oh, here's an Overwatch team. Like, that just doesn't happen in physical sports now. But this is... For what you're describing is the clash of, okay, well, are we going to go... Because Real Madrid doesn't have a baseball team. All they are is soccer.
Yeah.
And so the idea of them becoming esports in anything other than soccer is a fundamental shift from how they have operated since their inception.
It's a really good point. I was thinking about this because I'm a fan of, like, the Fnatic League of Legends team and have been for a while. Mm. And at one point I got a shirt.
Mm.
And I was walking down the street one day and some guy was like, hey, nice shirt. And I was like, cool, yeah. Like, here we go, Fnatic.
Esports,
boom. But then I realized, like, he could actually be a fan, and probably was a fan, of Fnatic's CSGO team.
Oh, yeah.
Because the CSGO team is really popular in the U.S., whereas the Fnatic team that I was really into was, like, a European team. Like,
mm-hmm.
Unless you're, you know, we have TSM fans and Cloud9 fans, but Fnatic EU League of Legends team fans are not very big. So this guy was like, yeah, me and you, Fnatic fans. But that doesn't really mean anything, because the coach of Fnatic and the coach of, like, his Fnatic team are... Completely different.
The guys
people.
That you like are probably terrible at Counter-Strike, and the guys that he likes are probably terrible at League.
So what exactly are we liking? The owners?
Brand?
Like, are we, yeah, we're fans of the ownership Shaq. Of the brand. Like, it's bizarre in a way, right? And it makes sense for something like the Warriors or whatever, where there's only one team, and it's your local team, and the Warriors aren't owned, you know, by a bunch of things. Yeah. And the same thing goes for Real Madrid or whatever. Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, that's what I'm saying. I think for me... I think I could be a fan of, like, multiple esports at one time, but when it comes to, like, the actual teams...
But the ownership of it is different. Just like you're a fan of your baseball team and your soccer team and your football team, this is, like, the opportunity here is to start bundling it all together in an era where... Or, sorry, in an industry where it traditionally hasn't been bundled all together.
Well, are there any owners who own multiple teams? An owner who owns multiple baseball teams and multiple football teams.
I think there's actually league rules against that.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, of course. Because
of competition things. Yeah. Like, even from an investment perspective, I don't know them off the top of my head. But
but there are minor league teams, but they're called something else, yeah?
But the minor league teams are affiliated with the major league teams.
Right, but are you a fan of, like, the Giants? Can you be a fan of the minor league Giants and the major league Giants as, like, a generic Giants fan?
The problem with it is that it's all the same org. Like, it's that is the Giants. Yeah. Like, it's the Giants. It feeds into the Major League Giants. Like, yeah. I mean, other people own them, but, like, it's all part of the same corporate giant network.
Sure. Yeah.
But, like, it's for this stuff, these players are growing up in an area where EA Sports actually owns their digital soccer likeness. Yeah. And so you will kind of have to be a fan of EA and also Real Madrid, because Real Madrid doesn't own the video game.
That's true.
Someone else owns the video game.
Yeah.
You know,
it's so,
like,
confusing.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the other thing that would have helped that you don't have in esports is a localization of it, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If you live in Manchester,
yeah,
then maybe being a fan of Manchester United makes sense, right? Whereas if Manchester United bought an esports team, I don't think... You know, they're not playing in Manchester.
It would be so fun, though, if they did.
like even more smaller scale esports teams. Like, if your team was entirely, you know, people from Manchester, that would be pretty cool.
Well, it would give you the sort of identity, because esports is so personality driven for the exact reason that there's no actual connecting through line with any players. It's not like they're from a region in terms of, like, a country. But not like a town.
Well, so, and I think that's, right now, we do sort of have that in esports, but it's nationally driven, right?
Well, like, and there's so many people where it's like, oh, this guy is on the North American team, but he's actually not North American.
Yeah, I mean, there are strict rules, right? Like, you can have two people who are not from your region on your team, but everyone else has. But even so, like, those regions are quite large.
Yeah.
Like, all of Europe is a region. So if you've got two people from France, one guy from England, and one guy from Iceland,
and then
a Korean, like, you're a European team.
Yeah.
But you're not, like, German team, or let alone Berlin team, right? I mean, right now there's a team in League of Legends called Albus Nox that is doing well in Worlds. They got out of group stages. Mm. They're a wildcard team, and they're the only team entirely composed of Russians. Like, they're all Russian, right? There's no Koreans on their team. They do not import anybody to Albus Nox. So there's a sort of, like, pride amongst people that, like, oh, you didn't have to go outside of your sort of quote-unquote town to get people. But it's still a far cry from what you have with your sports teams.
Yeah.
The one issue, though, is that even that sports team thing is kind of a lie. Because, you know, you and I were talking about how many football players who play in Oakland or whatever, like, they don't live here. Yeah. They come here for the game, then they go back home to their mansion.
It's more about, like, the corporate ownership where, like, and this is probably really more of a function of the physical realities of the sport, because the people who pay for the stadiums are usually the local taxpayers.
Right.
Or at least local sponsors that, you know, companies that sponsor the creation of the infrastructure that then bring it to a particular town.
And right.
People who live near the town physically have to go to that stadium to watch, whereas esports, by its very nature, is more transnational because it's like, all you need is a computer and you can root for whoever you want.
But they broadcast sports games all the time, right? Like,
But sports has a longer legacy. Sports has a predated legacy where, like, you couldn't get... It's only in the relatively recent past where you could actually watch any sports game at any time.
So what if Real Madrid played their esports team played in their stadium?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think
on the pitch, just like set of computers with ridiculously long table. LAN cables. There's like 12 people in the audience, and it's like 20,000 person
from
stadium.
A psychological perspective, I think it would be kind of neat because it would just maybe, and again, maybe esports was born in an era where you just don't need that anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, you're not tied to geography when it's an electronic sport.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to have a stadium. All you need is a computer, and you could do that anywhere.
But the live event is, like, hugely significant, and there's far less, you know, potential accusations of, like, my connection was shitty and stuff.
Yeah. One other thing that's stuck out to me here was the level of, It seemed to speak to the level of kind of specialization of these video games. Like, when you hear about these professional players playing more video games than I play, but just one video game, it kind of snapped into perspective. Oh, right. This is why I can't play sports games anymore.
Yes.
Because it's designed for professionals like who are playing it for 10 hours a day. Yeah. And it's like,
and everyone is incredibly good.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, oh, right. Like, this is now this is a simulation for people that love the game, not a fun time game for people that kind of want to dick around with a soccer game.
I think that's why FIFA 17 really pushed that angle of, like, creating your own storyline and working from scratch.
Because
I think it was trying to bring in people to FIFA who were possibly scared off by the fact that this has become such a simulation that it's no longer sort of an accessible thing.
Yeah.
Whereas, if what I'm interested in is the narrative of someone climbing the ranks and becoming a sports star, then maybe that is something that could attract me. Yeah. And I think it worked. Like, I'm way more interested in FIFA 17 because of that than for any other reason.
The other thing that I realized similar to that topic is Iwobi, one of the guys who's in this article, he's 20 right now.
Yeah.
And so that means, so, like, he didn't even really start playing video games until the early 2000s, probably, when he was like, what, 6 or 7 or something.
It's like FIFA is older than he is at this
point. And he came of age in an era where FIFA had already made the turn towards simulation based stuff.
Right.
Like, he never played, like, you know,
presumably he maybe picked up at the earliest, what, 8 years ago? So 2003 or something.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's,
God, I'm so old. That's 13 years ago.
But I mean, like, when the first sports games that we played were just so significantly simplistic compared to this.
I mean, like, the NHL hockey game I played was just a fighting game.
Yeah.
That was not a sports game.
But I mean, and I think that also leads into the kind of hyper specialization of sports games. Because if you grew up playing a really complex sports game like the FIFAs were in the early 2000s, then if you stick with it, your hunger is only going to get more and more towards an increasingly complex sports game unless you just kind of get tired of it.
Yeah.
You'd never went through the weird transition of, like, NHL 93 or Ken Griffey Jr. presents Major League Baseball. You started at the one where you're having to worry about, oh, let's take a look at the backspin of this. Yeah. And here's all the stats.
Well, and your interest in that and passion in that is rewarded in real sports, right? So if you are playing the intricacies and you're learning, you know, how to put spin on your strikes in playing FIFA the video game, then when you watch an actual FIFA match, you can appreciate that level of skill in soccer that's mm-hmm. exhibited.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're really good at, like,
making NBA Jam?
Yeah, like NBA Jam of, like, turning the basketball into, like, a flaming orb, right? Like, there's no way to appreciate a flaming orb on television, right? You're not seeing the same thing. There's not a one-to-one thing. So as you dive into the simulation, the digital simulation, it provides a skill in much the same way that I think fantasy football provides a sort of value for people to watch more football, because mm-hmm. you're learning more about those individual players. You know, the skills that you're learning and the intricacies of the sport that you're learning in the digital digital space are making it more rewarding to watch others do it at a high skill level.
Yeah, it's just that didn't strike home for me until I realized, oh right, the first video game he played probably was FIFA 2000 something.
Yeah.
You know.
So this article makes you less likely to play a soccer video game than ever before.
Maybe not less likely, but it just makes me understand. Because sometimes I just look at sports games and I'm like, man, who is this for? Like how could anyone memorize all this stuff? And it's like, oh, right. It's for people that, to them, this is what a sports game is.
Yeah.
And for me, what a sports game is something that is like two-dimensional, top-down, two buttons.
Well, I think what's so healthy for EA and why I don't think this is going anywhere, right? Yeah. Like, this isn't like you're making a flight sim and all of the people who are into flight sims are going to die one day and you're not going to have players anymore, right?
Yeah.
You will always have new people who are lovers of football, lovers of soccer, mm-hmm. or whatever, get back into the video game version because it's raining outside or it's snowing outside and it's too cold to go play the actual sport. Yep. I'll just go pick up this one. And then you have friends to play. Mm-hmm. And it's online and more connected than ever. And it's a simulation of real life. Like, there's a nonstop, endless group of players for these games.
And an ever-expanding one.
Yes.
Because, like, now more and more people are playing these games. So unless something incredible happens and the video game industry collapses somehow, you'll only have more and more people wanting to play your game. And, by definition, a higher percentage or a higher number of them will also be professional athletes.
Yeah. And that's exactly. And that's why I think the idea of these organizations buying up esports teams makes so much sense. Ugh. Because they're just getting ahead of the curve. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know what? Soccer is huge. League of Legends is getting big. Mm-hmm. These video game things are getting big. Mm-hmm. Let's just get in on that game because we've already got the skill and we're just like cutting ourselves off at the pass. We're going to get ahead of the curve.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to old retired players still playing video games.
I'm looking forward. I kind of hope it happens. But if soccer money can subsidize the careers of esports athletes, it's a weird space because it's like there's all this weird, ugly politics of FIFA that will then find their way into esports. But it will be a healthy space in terms of building a career, you know.
And someday, like, once people wake up and realize that, like, I don't know, who watches professional bowling? It will be League of Legends subsidizing that other crap.
Exactly.
Where it was like, at a certain point, you'll have esports that are more watched than physical sports.
Right.
And then it will completely flip.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
It's so strange.
When we finally get competitive eating on the world stage.
Yeah.
There's no competitive eating video game, is there?
Ooh, I think that's called Yoshi's Island. experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is our batter box. That's not a soccer term. Hey, come down and give us a rating on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Until next time, everyone, thank you for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Ciao.